Good morning. This is Lisa Niver from We Said Go Travel, and I am beyond thrilled that today I'm with none other than the travel goddess, Samantha Brown. Hi, Samantha.
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get to talk to you. I have been watching you at the travel show for years and years and years, and I was so excited. I even wore this map in your honor. That I got to also speak at the travel show this year. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm speaking at the same show as the goddess.
That's wonderful. It's nice to see you again.
Oh, thank you. So I know that you've been such a generous speaker and you have just inspired so many women. I spoke with Alex after the Women's Travel Fest where you were the keynote speaker. And she was saying how people, it was their longtime dream come true to be able to be there and hear you speak, that you really inspired so many women to get out on the road.
Yeah, you know, that's probably what I am most proud of and most shocked by in my career. I never thought I would be someone who people look up to. And I guess that's why I do have the best job in the world, is that I get told on almost a daily basis what my work has meant to someone else. And that is phenomenally validating. So not only do I have this amazing job, but the people that I've been able to be a part of their community in terms of, you know, whether they watch me on TV or now they're on social media or whatever it is, it's just something I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be that person. And I never take it for granted.
I think that's so beautiful. And like you said just now, and like it says on your Twitter bio, you know, girl with the best job in the world. Can you tell people a little bit about how did this happen? You know, when you were little, were you, you know, drawing on maps? Did you always want to be on TV? How did it happen?
Yeah, I went to school, went to college, Syracuse University for musical theater. And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be an actress and I wanted to move to New York City. And so at Syracuse, I studied acting, singing, and dancing. And when you are in musical theater, you are considered a triple threat because you can do all three. And then I moved to New York City and I wasn't threatening at all. In fact, I was really bland compared to the unbelievable talent that is out there. Actually, I saw that you had Pauline Frommer as a guest, and she was also in musical theater as well. I remember seeing her at the auditions. I knew she was a lot more successful than I was in theater, but you should ask her about that because so we share that in common. And so I kept auditioning and I got this strange job on the Travel Channel. I had to audition for it to be their host for a new show called Great Vacation Homes. And my first reaction was, what's a host? Why am I auditioning for this? But I thought, okay, I'll just get a reel because I wanted to go to Los Angeles to make it in sitcoms. So that was my plan. And I am so glad it did not work out. You know, Travel Channel really hit it off. I loved my time there. I had amazing experiences and just have had a job I never thought I would have.
That's so inspiring because I think that for a lot of us, when things don't go how we planned, there's a lot of feeling about being a failure or a mistake, but like you're saying, it was the best thing.
Absolutely. And it wasn't like I just sort of turned my back on acting in musical theater, because one of the things you learn in acting is that you never judge your own character. It's all about understanding what your motivation is. And your motivation is always in another person. Your motivation in acting is always to maybe get more from another person or affect the other person. It's never you that makes it too self-centered. So that's something that you are learned, you're taught in acting. And I absolutely take that little chunk and I bring that with me. And that's how I kind of got my start as a travel host, because for me, the show was never about me. It was always about the other person. How do I get to know them? How do I get to be a part of their culture? What is it? What tactics can I use so this person understands I'm a kind person who they would want to spend time with? That sort of thing. So that little, you know, jewel is just sort of my, I don't know, guiding star that even today, even though the name of my show is Samantha Brown's Places to Love, the show is not about me.
I think that's really great advice for people, for a TV host or as a human being or a friend or you know, in line at the DMV, that there's something about the interaction, about really learning something about someone else.
And yeah, it's always in the other person.
Sorry. Yes, really, that's really impressive. And I know I've heard you speak so many places when you were here at the Museum for the Japanese National Tourism Organization, mm-hmm. at the travel show, and you always share such really useful tips. Can you talk to people a little bit about your ritual when you're traveling?
Oh, yes. So if I'm in a place for more than 3 days, which is more than likely if I'm traveling and we're shooting Places to Love, I will create a ritual. And that means I do one thing, the same thing, the same time every single day. And for me, it's usually a coffee shop that I'm going to begin my day at. It's right around the corner from my hotel. But not my hotel, but still a local experience where I can feel the ebb and flow of a location better. And I love that because it just gives me a break. I think one thing about traveling is that, or my pet peeve of travel is that it requires incessant thinking, right? When you're traveling, it's always, what am I doing next? Do I have the tickets? How are we going to get there? Is it going to rain? You know, what are my flights? My flight leaves in 3 days. Like, you never stop. And you want your brain to stop. And so when you create a ritual, you just become more calm. You're just more in the moment, and that brain stops. And so I just love that. I love doing that. I know, and now I've talked to people and they're like, oh, we do that all the time. We, you know, at the end of the day, we go to the same bar and have the same drink and get to know the waiter. And you just kind of create your own community in the short amount of time that you're there. And it does wonders to really enrich your trip. I think as Americans, and I understand there are different countries are watching this right now, but Americans were very productive, unfortunately so. Like we see vacations as places, just a second location to be productive that's different from our work schedule. Exactly. Check things off the list. We've got to do 5 different things today because, man, we're never coming back here. And I get that. I get that that pressure we put on ourselves to see and do it all. But this is a reminder every single day just to keep those challenges in check and just enjoy life a little bit more.
I think what you're saying is so important, like get out of your hotel, see the local culture. Can you tell people a little bit about when you were in Madison and you were a judge about mustard?
Sure. I love mustard, by the way. I love all kinds of mustard. I collect it. Like if I go to places, you know, France, you have to collect the mustard. So there's the Mustard Museum. It's just outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And the man who founded it is an adorable man who just loved mustard as much as I think a lot of us do. He started collecting it, and now you can experience mustards from all over the world. Mustard companies from all over the world send him their mustard. So you can experience mustard from Uzbekistan. And then he has to France, to Argentina. And some is spicy, some is, you know, more sweet. But every year he has a mustard contest. And I got to be a judge. And it was wonderful. I like the peppery stuff that makes you know, you know, you when you taste mustard, if you have to take off your reading glasses and do this, that's a good mustard.
I was in Destin, Florida. I was a judge at the lionfish competition. Maybe you want to be a judge next year with the lionfish, because that's, we're helping the planet by eating the lionfish. So
and it's good eating. Lionfish and a taco. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I totally agree. Eat more lionfish. Definitely.
I agree. And so I heard you also got to, in Madison, learn a sport from an Olympian.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Becca Hamilton, who is on the women's curling team. And she is, I believe, a world champion. They didn't win the Olympics. That was her brother. So her brother's like a famous male. So they're a duo. And so the Madison Curling Club is where they were brought up. This is where these two Olympians were reared, but she was fantastic. And, you know, I was telling her, I'm like, you know, I remember when they launched this sport in the Olympics, I don't know, was it, I forget which one, maybe 10 years ago. And everyone was thinking, what in the world is this sport? But we loved it. And I love the fact that you learn about the people who curl, and they're like, you know, they're insurance adjusters by day, like, and they have this Olympic career on the side. And it was so refreshing that they feel like, oh, they're just like us. But of course, they train a lot and it's a hard sport, but it's great. It's a really fun sport. And the way that Midwestern towns and cities really embrace this sport and make it more of a social thing is something that I think if you're in a town that has a curling club, go visit it. You'll have a great time.
So I haven't tried curling, but when I was in Ireland, I tried hurling, not the throwing up kind, but the sport
yes.
kind. And I know that when you were in Ireland, you tried some unusual things that we haven't all heard of, like blowcarting.
Blowcarting. I tried hurling as well. That's a very dangerous sport. Yes. That's like the cross between baseball and tennis and you're whacking a ball and lacrosse. It's like, you guys are nuts. Blowcarting is it's very different, and it's actually not a sport. It's just a recreation, and they have beautiful beaches, of course, in Ireland, and it's this wind powered cart. So in the same way, we all dreamed of having our own little, you know, go-karts when we were young, you know, push the cardboard with the wheels. It's not cardboard, but it's wheels and a little sail. And so you can go sailing across the sand, and it's phenomenal. It feels so great. I'm actually someone who's very scared of being on the water, especially in the ocean, but I love the wind on your sails. Who doesn't like that feeling? And so it gives you that feeling of being out there, maybe wind sailing, but you're on terra firma. But I believe it was created in Northern Ireland, this sport, or this recreation. And so if you ever go, absolutely try it out, because it's just fun.
Oh my gosh, I have to do that. I'm actually recently back from Ireland. I got to do some falconry at the Ashford Castle.
Oh, beautiful. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can fly like a falcon by blowcarting.
I like that. And then I know you travel with a teacup, and there was something about having tea, special tea in Ireland.
Oh, yes.
Twist?
I did a where was that? That was Glenarm Castle in on the Antrim coast of Northern Ireland. Beautiful castle, kind of like a Downton Abbey thing.
Yeah.
And they've opened up, the family still lives there, and it's still run by like the royalty, I don't know, of Ireland. They're not royalty, they're just like dukes, and you know, the past, they have a lot of money is what I'm trying to say. But they've opened it up, and they've created a farm and a dairy and beautiful gardens, and you can just enjoy. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm wrong. That's a beautiful place, Glenarm Castle. But where I experienced the high tea was, oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting. It was a very, very upscale hotel in Adair Manor.
Oh,
there we go.
Okay. They just had a big renovation.
Yes, they did. And oh my gosh. So that is a manor, a former manor. And it is probably like, a 6-star hotel. It is through the roof in terms of its luxury and beauty. And very few of us can afford this on a regular basis, but you can, as I always say, date the hotel. So I took it to high tea. And so it's this amazing room that is the second longest room in Ireland, second only to the library in Dublin.
Okay.
Yes. Trying to think. And they do wonderful cocktails, and they put them in teacups. So you're a tea toddler, not really, but a beautiful botanical gin and tonic. And you're just having these beautiful pastries, but it's one of these epic places for tea. And I think a lot of people enjoy, Lisa, tea in different places, very high end. And this would be one of them. Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever heard you say date your hotel before, but I love that.
Yeah, just date it. If you can't afford to stay there, take it on a date.
That's so funny. One of my favorite things about coming home from Ireland is pre-clearing at the airport that you come home domestic.
I just love, I was just through Canada as well, where they have that. And there's nothing better than that. And it's so funny how it takes all of the stress out of flying, because you land and you're now domestic. And I love pre-clearance airports. I think they're reason alone to go to a country and enjoy it. You know, in Ireland, all of the airports in Ireland as well as Canada, are pre-clearance airports if they go into the United States, and they're international.
Were you filming something new in Canada, or you were on family holiday?
Yeah, I was there shooting an episode in Victoria. in British Columbia, a beautiful little city on that gorgeous island on Vancouver Island. And it's sort of the gateway to Vancouver Island, as well as the rest of British Columbia. But just like most cities, give us that really great full taste of an entire culture. So we were up there exploring its more, sustainable methods, you know, in terms of what they're doing to protect the wildlife from the First Nations, their culture as well, great food. It's just a beautiful place to be.
And I know when you travel, one of the things you love to do is collect some art, and there's beautiful art right behind you. Is that from one of your recent visits?
Yes. That is Jenny Pickens, the artist, and she's from Asheville, North Carolina, self-taught. And I love her work. I met her as we were shooting an episode there, and we focused on this really great shop called the Noir Collective. And it is in a neighborhood that used to be considered like the Black Wall Street of Asheville, with many very successful businesses for Black Americans. And it fell on some hard times because of rezoning, but this group of people are trying to bring it back, and it's a great place. And here's where you can really sample a lot of the local artists and their work. And I love her because she's sewing the world. And it's a woman who's slowly, I'll just tip this up just a bit and then you can see it. She's slowly mending or sewing the world together, and it's got a heart. So I thought places to love. And she's beautiful.
I also really like when you put your season together, that it's a mix of domestic and international. We have so many great treasures of places to visit here in the United States.
Yeah, I agree. And I always love to explore what I call the B-side cities. So if you remember records, right, there's the A-side and then there's the B-side. And the A-side is like the Rome and the New York and the Paris, but then there are the B-sides. And I think B-side cities just give you just as much as the A-side city, but it's not as expensive, it's not as busy, and it just gives you a better experience. So with the United States, that's what we try to focus on, is especially in these days where you're hearing so much about the just too many people being in the same place at the same time. There's plenty of room for all of us. We just need to kind of divert people to, you know, look, come this way. Like, this is a great place. So we've done a lot of cities that people would never think of going to. And then when you find out all of the great art that's there, food that's there, activities, and you don't have to spend, you know, $4,000 on a hotel, people are really excited about that, where it's really doable.
I think it's great that you're sharing all those places with people. And I know there was recently something I saw on your social media about Big Sky, Montana. Was that we can watch that, or is that coming the next season?
No, that we've already been there. So we filmed that last year. So that was a part of season 6. So that's running now. Yeah. So we were there, and that's a great place. I mean, Montana is a beautiful state, no matter what time of year you go. I think most people go to Montana in the summer, maybe it's to get to Yellowstone, but winter, oh my gosh, it's just magical. Not the cheapest place to go. Big Sky, Montana is a resort, and like, you know, it's $300 a day for a lift ticket. So, but let me tell you, as someone who grew up in New Hampshire, grew up skiing, the skiing is phenomenal and worth it. You know, I skied in my jeans in ice cold weather in New Hampshire. And so to be up there out west where it's just a lovely day, I think it's an amazing place to be. But I love Montana generally, but I've never been there in the winter. And I'm a big winter fan. I'm one of those rare people, Lisa, who loves snow.
I've seen a lot of different episodes of you. I know you talked about Chilly Madison, but I think recently you were filming somewhere it was definitely not chilly. You were in Israel recently, right?
I was, yes. And oh my goodness, I still have dreams about it. It took me a week back home to really feel like I was back in the United States, because I just felt like, I don't know, you know, when you've been, I don't know, smitten, when you're, it's like falling in love, where you just can't get your head out of the clouds. It was phenomenal. You know, clearly I don't have to explain what Jerusalem is and why you would want to go. But you see, what I love about cities is that the whole world can seem like it hates each other. And when you go to a city, that's just the nuts. That's not what's happening. Everyone lives with each other. Everyone understands what it takes to be kind, right? Cities are seen as these unfriendly, dangerous places. And it's a lot of the times it's the exact opposite. So it was wonderful discovering that for myself. And I would love to go back. It was a trip of a lifetime, truly.
I'm so glad you got to go there. I studied in Israel in high school, and I spent a semester in college in Jerusalem.
Oh my gosh, I'm so envious. What a place. It's magical, right? I mean, you know, and I see so many people like you. So it's so youthful. There's so many young people there, and it's just there's an energy there that is, you just can't help but get swept up into it. We met some phenomenal people, and I'm really excited to share that episode because it's a special place, and it really belongs to the world. I think that's what people don't understand, is that Jerusalem is a city that belongs to the world. And I feel that way about New York City. Like, we're not really of the United States. I live in New York. I've lived here for 35, 37 years, and it's not the United States, it's everyone's, and everyone comes here. And I felt the same way about Jerusalem. It's like, this is for everyone. There is no need to take sides. This is a place for everyone.
I agree with you. I always can't wait to get back again to Israel. So I know people are going to want to know, where do they see all of these incredible episodes, and when is season 7 coming? So tell us, where's the best place to get all the updates?
So on my website, you can follow me on social media, of course. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm even on TikTok now. Samantha Brown Travels is my handle for most of those. The show airs in the United States on TV in a place called PBS, which is our public television stations, but you can also stream the episodes free directly from my own website, which is samantha-brown.com. Season 7, which we are working on now, begins in January. So we still have a lot of shooting to do, as well as editing, but it will be launched in January of 2024.
Oh my goodness, that's so exciting. And I really appreciate, I know your production schedule is so busy that you took this time to talk to me. And I really have been so inspired myself, and honestly, such an honor to speak at the same show as you. So I just, travel goddess, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. And thank you for wearing your map shirt for me. I feel very special. I better not see that on another one of your podcasts.
I spoke in 4 cities, so I actually have quite a few map shirts now.
I like that. That's a good, I might go in that direction. I like the map shirt.
I think maybe, I know you have a luggage line, and you had some clothing. Yeah. Maybe you need
wrap
some,
it up.
You know,
shirts.
I don't know. Just saying. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a little project. Again, well, thank you so much for sharing your tips and your wisdom. And I know everybody can't wait to catch up if they haven't seen all 6 seasons already, and to see Israel and all the upcoming new cities that you highlight in season 7. So thank you so much.
Lisa, it's been a pleasure.